All God's people said,
amen.
Amen. What a beautiful way to begin our worship service this morning. Good morning. Thank you for joining us for worship on this July Sunday morning. May the Spirit move in this place today. It is already moving today. If you're a first-time visitor with us, welcome. Thank you for joining us for worship today. You can fill out a visitor's card and drop it off in the offering plate following the worship service so we can have a record of your visit with us. For those that are watching us this morning online on Facebook Live, welcome. I encourage you can also go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up our worship bulletin, use that as a resource for today's worship service, if our ministry is coming up in the life of our church. If this is your first time visiting with us here at First Baptist Online, send me an email this week. Let me follow up with you and share what First Baptist Elon is all about. We just want to remind you, as you look at your schedule today, we don't have any afternoon or evening ministries today, but a reminder to our ministry teams, the articles for the August newsletter are due to Janice today, so please send them to her. Make sure you get those to her today, definitely by tomorrow. And I say that because this week, you've heard about this in our roundtable meetings, this week we're having some work done here at the church. We're having some work done on our carpeting area in the lower hallway here. That'll be replaced this week. So our schedule here is going to be a little bit different. They're also going to be doing a little bit of work upstairs in one of the hallways. So staff connection this week is going to be a little bit difficult. So I'm just going to encourage you, if you need to get in touch with the staff, or Gay and myself, call us on our cell phone. So I'm going to be gone a couple of days early in the week. Gay's going to be here towards the end of the week. Make sure you call us, especially on Thursday, because most likely that'll be the day where they're working specifically down right outside our offices. It's going to be noisy. It's going to have some great fumes going on, and we don't want to be inhaling the things they're going to be putting down. So just know that. Call us this week, but make sure for the newsletter to get that to Janice today or tomorrow so we can get the newsletter out before the work gets done. Looking ahead to this week, other ministries going on. Monday afternoon, praise team number 4 is rehearsing at 4 p.m. Is that right, time-wise? 4 p.m.?
No, 6 p.m.
6 p.m., sorry. 6 p.m. on Monday. Tuesday, of course, our Golden Years Bingo Ministry will be taking place. That's at 1:30. If you want to assist with that, you can talk to Sandy French. Also, Joe's Diners team number 7 will be serving at the homeless shelter at 5:30 p.m., so make sure you know if you're on that team to be serving that meal at 5:30. Thursday of this week, we'll be doing the online Bible study. Our next session, session 6 in Rebuild, will be at 6:30 p.m. This week, we'll be turning our attention to Nehemiah chapters 1 and 2. So I hope you'll join me online for that on Facebook Live. Friday, if the weather cooperates, the fun and fellowship trip to the Moose Cafe and the Farmers Market will be taking place to Greensboro. That trip will start at 8 a.m. because the group will be going to breakfast first and then to the Farmers Market afterwards. And Gay is taking a careful look at the weather, and if it looks like it's going to be raining that day, she'll be making a call on that trip. A couple other announcements, of course, our missions collections for July. We are collecting items for the Salvation Army Food Pantry. You can drop those items off in the Communication Center. We're upstairs in the Fellowship Hall. The items needed are listed in your bulletin today, also in your July newsletter. And we are continuing to collect items for the Alamance Chamber of Commerce annual classroom collection campaign. The items that are needed are listed on your bulletin and are listed as high priority, the highest priority, and priority items. So everything listed are things that are needed for students and teachers this year. Pick up a few of those items. You can drop those off in the boxes that are in upstairs and in the Communication Center as well. Last but not least, we had a wonderful gathering last Sunday night. We had a great time, a wonderful time of hot dog and ice cream fellowship. First off, I want to say thank you to the team that put that meal together. Let's have a round of applause for that team. Many of them are here. Some of them are not, so make sure you thank them. We had a wonderful time, and with the donations for the meal and through the mattress raffle that took place, and congratulations to Kathy and Rob Johnson. They won the mattress. If you just kind of want to egg them on and kind of prod them about it, say, you always say, man, I didn't sleep well last night. I really wish I'd have won the mattress. Don't tell them I said that, but anyway, you can do that. You can say, make sure you just kind of let them know that as well, but because of all the donations and for the raffle, we raised over $1,600 for the roof fund. So thank you for your support for that, and we're still trying to pay that roof fund off. So we're still working on that. Again, before we begin to sing today, we've already been blessed by the music of Catherine Weber this morning. Thank you, Catherine, for being with us again. Gay said, do you want to introduce her? Do you want me to? I said, well, she's a part of our family. She's already been here so many times. It's just great to have you back. So thank you. We've already been blessed by her gift of music with us, and we'll continue to have that during our time of worship this morning. But let's praise our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Our opening hymn this morning is We Are So Blessed. Let's stand and let's worship together.
Scripture reading this morning is a psalm I think all of us are very familiar with, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we just sang our song about being blessed, that you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Our cup overflows because of the blessings of God daily. Daily. Let's go to the end of prayer this morning. Oh, Holy One, You are our host as well as our shepherd in worship today. You invite us to the banquet of life. All parts of the world are invited, enemies and friends, the alienated and powerful, those close at hand and those that are far off. You offer the abundance and lavishness of bread broken and shared and the cup of refreshment that leads to new life. We praise and thank you for your abundant spirit this day. Goodness and love unfailing, these will follow us all the days of our lives. And we shall dwell in your home, the home of our God for all eternity. Thank you, Good Shepherd, for meeting us here today. In the name of the Good Shepherd, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is God of Grace and God of Glory. Let's stand and worship.
Thank you.
as we approach the month of August. We are quickly approaching the beginning of the new church year starting on September 1st. And as part of the preparation for this new year, our ministry teams that plan and prepare and carry out the day-to-day ministries of our church calendar and our church ministries will once again be preparing for team member transitions. Now, over the next couple weeks, I want to encourage our team leaders and our team members to speak with each other and speak about this upcoming year. At this time, I want to encourage all our team leaders specifically to talk to the team members about their service for this upcoming year. And what I mean by that is find out if they're going to serve this next year, because we need to know. And the reason why we need to know this is because at our next roundtable meeting, which will be coming up on Sunday evening, August 11th at 5 p.m., and I want everybody to mark your calendar for that date, because we have lots of items that will be brought at that meeting, lots of items to be voted on. At that roundtable meeting, we will be voting on the list of ministry teams for the 2024 and 2025 year. Now, the reason why I'm sharing this with the entire congregation and not just our ministry teams is this. You may be approached by a ministry team leader to possibly serve on the team for this upcoming year. So this gives you some time right now to pray about that. Maybe there's one of our ministry teams that you feel led, that you say, hey, I have a spiritual gift in this area. God is leading me to serve in this area. Don't wait for a ministry team leader to come to you. Go to them and say, I think I could use the gifts that God has blessed me with in this area. Go to them. Don't wait for that phone call or that email or that text or that tap on the shoulder on a Sunday morning. Trust me, as a team leader, we much prefer that conversation rather than the phone calls and saying, will you please consider being on this team? And we wait for days and weeks. The lists that we need to be back to the church office, back to Janice, by Sunday, August 4th. That is the Sunday before the roundtable on August 11th. And then we will share that entire list on the 4th with everybody, so you will have that in advance of the meeting on August 11th. So, ministry teams, please, please, please do your part by talking to your team members now. Church members, do your part by praying where you might be able to serve in this upcoming year. And we look forward to the service that God will do through you on these ministry teams. At this time, I'll call on our Deacon Brian Carroll for our offertory prayer.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you beyond what we can say, thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, for the opportunity to worship with brothers and sisters in Christ and do so freely, to be led by someone who comes when he's sick, when he doesn't feel good, and when he's struggling. And yet he still delivers your word in a mighty way. We are grateful, beyond grateful for that. Thank you for the leaders in this church that exist from top to bottom, Lord. You just heard David ask for people to consider service. But in reality, Lord, I look out across this church and I'm reminded of how wonderful and gifted everybody sitting here and listening beyond are. Lord, we pray that you would bless this church to be a beacon for you. We pray that as we give of our resources, our money, our time, ourselves, we ask and we anticipate that you would take what we would give, even if just ourselves, and multiply it beyond what we can imagine to further your kingdom. And we expect that you'll do it. Thank you for loving us. In your Son's precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine, and thank you, Bert, for our beautiful special music this morning. Would you go with me in prayer to God before we encounter His Word once again this day? Almighty God, You are righteous and just. You are the judge and the deliverer, and we worship You this day. Our world, Lord, needs Your intervention with goodness and fairness. Come to us this day. Our lives, Lord, need Your touch of healing and restoration. Come to us this day. Thank You for the message of the prophet Obadiah, who reminds us that You see the ruins and You will intervene, that You know the loss and You will restore. Give us courage and strength to persevere with You no matter our circumstances until the day we see You face to face. All this we pray through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Deliverer, to whom with You and the Holy Spirit to be all honor and glory now and forevermore. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship here at First Baptist Elon this July Sunday morning. In his book, Mere Christianity, which is one of my personal favorite books, C.S. Lewis writes these words: "There is one vice of which no man in the world is free, which everyone in the world loathes when he sees it in someone else, and of which hardly any people except Christians ever imagine that they are guilty themselves. I have heard people admit that they are bad temper, or that they cannot keep their heads about girls or drink, or even that they are cowards. I do not think I have ever heard anyone who was not a Christian accuse himself of this vice. And at the same time, I have very seldom met anyone who was not a Christian who showed the slightest mercy to it in others. There is no fault which makes a man more unpopular, and no fault which we are more unconscious or in ourselves. And the more we have it ourselves, the more we dislike it in others." You may be able to guess from my sermon title this morning, but what is the vice that Lewis is writing about? Anybody want to guess? Pride, that's right. You can read my bulletin. You know what it is. Pride. Now, I can make a very good case that pride is the most dangerous sin of all because it is the root of all other sins. Most of us would probably say that the very first sin was committed in the garden by Adam and Eve, but the first recorded sin in the Bible actually occurred when an angel called Lucifer in Isaiah 14 rebelled against God because of his pride. So it is no wonder that pride was the weapon that he used to tempt Adam and Eve in the garden, and the tool that he used most often against us still today. It is possible that there are some here this morning that they may very well think you do not need this sermon that I'm about to preach because you do not have a problem with pride. But I can assure you that if you are thinking that this morning, then you need this sermon much more than many other people need it. One of the main problems with pride is that it is easy to spot in someone else and yet so difficult to discern in our own lives. Pride is so insidious that we often take pride in the fact that we think we have overcome pride in our own lives. This morning, as I continue our sermon series titled Big Messages in Little Books, we are going to look at the shortest book in the entire Old Testament, the book of Obadiah, which is 21 verses long. The truth is that we do not really know a lot about Obadiah, the author. Although we find 12 other people in the Old Testament with his name, it is not clear that any of them can be connected with the author of this book. All we know for certain is the meaning of his name. Obadiah literally means servant or worshiper of Yahweh. According to the Jewish Talmud, Obadiah is said to have been a convert to Judaism from Edom and a descendant of Eliphaz, the friend of Job. Now, if that is true, if that is the author of our book, it makes Obadiah's message even more intriguing, since he would be bringing his prophetic message from God, his message that we're going to read today, to his very own people, because it's written towards the people of Edom. Now, there are two possibilities for the dating of the book of Obadiah. It was either written in 845 BC during the reign of King Jehoram in Judah, or maybe around 586 BC after the Babylonian conquest of Jerusalem. Now, whichever date is the date of this writing, the main message of the book and its relevance to us still speaks truth to us in the 21st century. What we do know is that this message was delivered to the southern kingdom of Judah, and as we will see, there is a message of hope to a people who have continually been the subject of attacks by their enemies, particularly from the nation or the people of Edom. Now, while this message is a judgment on Edom, it is a message of hope for God's people. That's why it speaks to us today. It also, however, serves as a warning against the vice that C.S. Lewis wrote about in Mere Christianity. So let us see how we can ensure that we don't let pride prevail in our lives. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to the large book of Obadiah. It may take you a moment to find it in your Bible. I'll be quite honest with you. It's only one chapter long. It may only be a couple pages in your book. So as you flip there, it is right after the book of Amos, which is a lot more chapters than it is, and it is right before Jonah. So between Amos and Jonah is the book of Obadiah. Now, I hope some of you looked in advance of it, because it may take you a while to find it. Amos is in front, Jonah's in the back, and Obadiah is smack dab in the middle. Okay, so we're going to read Obadiah, the entire book today, because it's only one chapter. Reading Obadiah chapter 1, the words are going to be behind me on the screen. The vision of Obadiah. This is what the sovereign Lord says about Edom. We have heard a message from the Lord. An envoy was sent to the nation to say, "Rise and let us go against her for battle. See, I will make you small among the nations. You will be utterly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who live in the clefts of the rocks and make your home on the heights. You who say to yourself, 'Who can bring me down to the ground?' Though you soar like the eagle and make your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. If thieves came to you, if robbers in the night, oh, what a disaster awaits you. Would they not steal only as much as they wanted? If grape pickers came to you, would they not leave a few grapes? But how Esau will be ransacked for his hidden treasures pillaged. All your allies will force you to the border. Your friends will deceive and overpower you. Those who eat your bread will set a trap for you, but you will not detect it. In that day, declares the Lord, will I not destroy the wise men of Edom, men of understanding in the mountains of Esau? Your warriors, O Teman, will be terrified, and everyone in Esau's mountains will be cut down in the slaughter. Because of the violence against your brother Jacob, you will be covered with shame. You will be destroyed forever. On the day you stood aloof while strangers carried off his wealth and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were like one of them. You should not look down on your brother in the day of his misfortune, nor rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their destruction, nor boast so much in the day of their trouble. You should not march through the gates of my people in the day of their disaster, nor look down on them in their calamity in the day of their disaster, nor seize the wealth in the day of their disaster. You should not wait at the crossroads to cut down their fugitives, nor hand over their survivors in the day of their trouble. The day of the Lord is near for all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your own head. Just as you drank on my holy hill, so all the nations will drink continually. They will drink and be as if they had never been. But on Mount Zion will be deliverance. It will be holy. And the house of Jacob will possess its inheritance. The house of Jacob will be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame. The house of Esau will be stubble, and they will set it on fire and consume it. There will be no survivors from the house of Esau. The Lord has spoken. People from the Negev will occupy the mountains of Esau, and people from the foothills will possess the land of the Philistines. They will occupy the fields of Ephraim and Samaria, and Benjamin will possess Gilead. This company of Israelite exiles who are in Canaan will possess the land as far as Zarephath. The exiles from Jerusalem who are in Sepharad will possess the towns of the Negev. Deliverers will go up on Mount Zion to govern the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom will be the Lord's. Raise your hand if that's the first time you've ever read the book of Obadiah. Well, good. Now you've read a whole entire book in this worship service today. As I've already alluded to, we see that the message from this prophet concerns Edom. I want to take a few moments to go over some vital facts about this country. But before I do, I want to point out one important fact that we need to center on at the very beginning, and it takes place in verses 10 and 12. Notice how God views this relationship between Edom and Judah. The key word we see here is familial. It's the word brother. Brother. If we were to trace the relationship between Edom and Judah, which is what we're going to address in this book today, all the way back to its roots, we discover that this is essentially a family fight between two nations that should have been brothers. Their strife began in Rebekah's womb, the wife of Isaac. She had twin boys. Esau, the oldest, became the father of Edom, which comes from the same Hebrew root word. His descendants eventually settled in a mountainous area southeast of Israel in what is modern-day Jordan. The youngest son, Jacob, who stole Esau's birthright and blessing through deceit, became Israel and the father of Israel. And after the death of Solomon, the nation was divided into the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. In Genesis 33, we find that Jacob and Esau make peace, and they're actually reconciled. But that peace is not passed down through to the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation. Because what we see is hostility between these two nations throughout the entire Old Testament. So what does God have to say to Edom? The main idea in this prophecy, in the book of Obadiah, can be summed up with one simple statement. When pride prevails, relationships fail. When pride prevails, relationships fail. In this book, we see that it is true for Edom in both its vertical relationship with God and its horizontal relationship with its brother Judah. Verse 3 speaks to the heart of the problem, the pride of their hearts. We are also prone, both as individuals and as a nation, to follow in the footsteps and experience failures in both our relationships with God and our relationship with others if pride prevails. Pride is the root of all or most of our sins. In the case of Edom, and for us, one of the best indicators that pride is a problem is that we try to find security for our lives in all the wrong places. When that happens, we get blinded to both our needs for God and our responsibilities towards our brothers and sisters. Edom's pride was reflected in four major areas where they had placed their security. Now, the first area that they had placed their security in was in their might. The Edomites had settled in a mountainous region along the Dead Sea, and their capital city, Petra, was nearly impenetrable. Nobody else could get in. They had created caves in the sandstone rock for security as well, and in that setting, they felt secure from any kind of attack, secure in their might. Second, they felt secure in their wealth. Today, we say that a key to business is location, location, location. If you're in the right place, you are going to succeed. Edom took advantage of their location because they recognized that anyone who wanted to trade with Egypt and anybody who wanted to trade with Egypt, had to travel right through their land. And what did Edom do? They collected taxes, they sold supplies, they sold everything that you could possibly sell to anyone. They were a hub of commerce. Along with fertile soil, good crops, and a great copper industry, they were secure in their wealth. They took pride in their wealth. Third, they took pride in their politics. Because of their location, they had entered a number of political alliances that made them feel more secure. And finally, they felt secure in their wisdom. The town of Teman in their country was known as a center of wisdom and military intelligence. You know, earlier I mentioned Eliphaz, Job's friend. He is identified as an individual from this city. They believed this wisdom would protect them from any of their enemies. Edom was proud because they were strong, they were rich, they were smart, and they had a lot of powerful friends. Boy, isn't it nice. Boy, we humans today don't take pride in those four things, do we? Look at the list again. Might, wealth, politics, wisdom. How many of us strive to become secure in any of those four? How many of us strive to become secure in all four? How many of us want to point fingers at other individuals who try to become secure in all four? And when we point the fingers, guess what that's speaking? Our pride, that great vice. So what's God's response? God's response to Edom's pride is that he is going to destroy what they had taken pride in. He is going to do this for two specific reasons. First, the Edomites had completely forsaken God. They should have been looking for their security in him, not those four things. But they chose something else. Second, God was going to bring judgment against the Edomites because of their violence against their brothers, against the nation of Judah. God lays out his case against Edom. It rests on the fact that when pride prevails, relationships fail. Our horizontal relationships with other people will fail when pride dominates our lives. There is a downward spiral that occurs when pride dominates our lives. There are three distinct pieces or steps in this downward spiral. We see this with Edom, and we can see it in our own lives today. Here's the downward spiral of pride. The first step in this is passivity. At first, if we know the story of Edom, and we see it in this, Edom just stood by and watched as others attacked and plundered Jerusalem. They did not do anything to promote the attacks, but they did not do anything to stop them either. Now, this may not seem so bad, but remember, the people of Judah were their brothers. They were blood relatives. When they see them being attacked, rather than coming to their aid, they just watch. They were passive. Many might be familiar with the quote, all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. This describes the inaction of the Edomites. It also applies to us today when we just sit passively by. This spirals to the next step, which is promotion. After a while, the Edomites no longer just stood by and watched. They became cheerleaders. They began to gloat over the misfortune of Israel and rejoice in their ruin. This is us standing in the crowd, laughing and even muttering under our breath, well, they just probably deserved it. You see, they were bad. They deserved what they got. Now, this step spirals to the final step, which is participation. As this downward spiral progresses, Edom became involved in the actions against Judah. They take part in the looting. They keep people from being able to flee and even hand over the survivors to the enemies. Now, it is easy to see the kind of downward spiral that pride produced in the Edomites, but it is a lot harder today to see and recognize when we do the same thing of this downward spiral. So here are a couple questions that I think we should ask ourselves when we think about how this pride dominates in our lives. Just a couple questions. I encourage you to write them down or go back on our Facebook feed a little bit later on, listen to them, and kind of go over for yourself. Have you ever seen a fellow human being in need and just ignored the need? Maybe because you feel like it would be beneath you to associate with that person. Have you ever stood by silently while others criticize and gossip about a family member or a friend or a church member because you are worried what others might think of you? Have you smirked or cheered publicly or privately when someone you dislike suffers a challenging time in his or her life? Do you enjoy telling others about the struggles of those people because you think it makes you feel better? Have you ever gotten so mad at someone else that you have participated in the action that was intended to, quote unquote, pay them back? When pride prevails, relationships fail. This is true in both our relationship with God and our relationships with others. But Obadiah doesn't end on a negative note. Obadiah has good news for us. While his prophecy was towards Edom, it was hope for the nation of Judah. Look at the final verses in this one chapter Old Testament book. God proclaims that the day of the Lord is near, and that when the day comes, he is going to judge Edom and restore both Israel and Judah. Since today has been almost nearly 3,000 years since Obadiah spoke these words, we probably need to address that word near. Doesn't seem like nearness when it's 3,000 years later. Near is a word that describes something that is close at hand. So it certainly conveys the idea of close in time, but we need to keep in mind that the prophets are speaking of an event that is close in time when viewed from God's perspective, not human perspective. Remember, based on 2 Peter 3:8, from God's perspective, even 1,000 years is very near compared to eternity. The word near also conveys the idea that the day of the Lord is close at hand because it is certain. Oftentimes we say, oh, I just can't wait for God to come back. God promised that he's coming back. And yes, he is coming back. And he is coming back in a time that is near in God's eyes, not human's eyes. It's in God's time. It's close at hand because it is certain. We can always live every single day with that hope. and we minister out of that hope. We don't sit on the sidelines because of the hope. We work for Him until that day comes, because it is near, because it is certain. It's certain. For the prophets, it was a present reality in the sense that they could already see these future events being pictured by the events of their day and by the near-term fulfillment of these prophecies. So the day of the Lord is near for us as well, both in terms of our present reality and both in terms of its certainty. And when that day comes, whenever it is, God is going to do away with the pride that destroys our relationship with Him and that destroys our relationship with each other. In the meantime, until that day comes, God leaves us to take the needed steps to make sure that our relationships with Him and others do not fail because pride prevails. In closing this morning, I want to encourage you to not let pride rule in your life. If you do, your relationship with God and your relationship with your family members, your friends, and other people will certainly fail. Unlike the Edomites, find your security in Christ alone, nothing else. And a good question to ask yourself when trying to do this is, if God were to remove this person or this thing from my life, how would it impact my relationship with God and with others? Repeat that again. If God were to remove this person or this thing from my life, how would it impact my relationship with Him and with others? And if you discover during that questioning process that you are first finding security in anything above or other than Jesus, confess that to God then. Repent in that moment and ask Him to help you find security in Him. Second, do not let that sin spiral take you down. Daily go before God, asking for His blessing, His mercy, and His forgiveness. Keep short accounts with God. And what I mean by that is this. Every day as we read His word, we ought to begin by praying and asking God to help us see any sin in our lives that is revealed in the Bible. This past Thursday night for our Bible study, we talked a lot about confession. Daily we should go to God and confess the sins that are in our lives. To make ourselves right with God. That keeps our accounts short with Him. To get us right in relationship with Him. Psalm 139 says, search me. One of the verses says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's a daily life verse. Take it and use it. The good news is that if we will deal with our pride in a healthy manner by finding our security in Jesus alone and keeping short accounts with God, all our relationships, our vertical relationship with Him and our horizontal relationship with our family members and our friends, it will be a source of great joy. Rejoicing, as Obadiah promises, deliverers will go up on Mount Zion to govern the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom will be the Lord's. Let us pray. Father, it's a difficult book. It's a prophecy written so many years ago, speaking about a vice that can dominate our lives. But the truth still speaks to us today. Dear Lord, don't let pride prevail so our relationships fail. Allow our relationships to thrive because we put our faith and security and trust in You. That's our proclamation this day. Thank You for the words of a prophet whose words still speak to us today. Thank You for being our deliverer. Amen. As we come to our closing hymn this morning, As we sing, they'll know we are Christians as we listen to those words of this closing song. They echo the words of Obadiah. May they know we are Christians by our love, and our love is for Him, and our love is for each other. And when we love God and we love each other, we know that pride is not prevailing. If you come today knowing that you need to restore that relationship with Him, coming to Him, turning your life over to Him, I'll be down front. Come talk with me and what that is all about. If you want to seek a church family that seeks to live lives where our horizontal relationships with each other is echoed and supported in everything we do, come down front and let's talk about what First Baptist Elon is all about. Or last but not least, if you come today with the struggle of pride in your life or any other vice, the altar is always open. Come and pray. I'll pray with you. Pray where you are. Don't put that off. Make yourself right with God today. Make that account short, because that's what we're called to do daily. Let's stand and sing this morning. Prevail in your lives. Go knowing that that love that we're called to share for God, with God, and with others is what should prevail in our lives. Have a great afternoon. Go in peace.